And now it's 2:30, and I'd like to welcome my guest, John Piper. Good afternoon.
Afternoon. Thank you for having me.
You're very welcome. It's lovely to see you. And you said you cycled over here from Newnham, so we're both keeping our fingers crossed that the weather holds, aren't we?
That's right.
So your studios are actually in Toft.
Yes, I've got a little studio just Toft, which is about 6 miles west of central Cambridge, that I go to most days of the week. And there I do printmaking, sculpture and photography.
And so how did you get originally involved with all of that?
Well, I've been, you know, drawing and painting and doing sculpture for all of my life, really. But I've started this about 10 years ago, having had a career in research and development with a large corporation, and really wanted to change things up a bit.
That's really different.
Yeah,
yes,
it was very different. And get
so did you at university kind of do sciencey?
Yeah, I
stuff?
Did. I did industrial design at university.
Oh, okay. So it's a great combination of both, really. Oh, okay. So yeah, I was quite shocked when you said you'd only just done this for 10 years. It just shows that lots of people suddenly think, right, I'm going to get out of basically the corporate world and do something different.
Yes, which is lovely to be out of that. You know, it's a difficult pathway, requires a lot of work, but, it's a very rewarding job to do.
And so you started off, so you do some sculpture, some printmaking, and they're all kind of distinct.
Yeah, I do. I mainly work in Dry Point, but I also work with photogravure, which is a lovely process invented about 1830 by Fox Talbot when they were trying to fix the photographic negative. Or photographic image. I work with that, and I've been doing a lot more sculpture actually. And my work sells at galleries, but I'm mainly working on commission and commercial work right now.
Now you've brought me a beautiful present,
yes,
which I'm going to explain to people. So it comes in cardboard, and I've just opened up, and it is a beautiful. And this is Dry Point. Is that right?
No, this is a Dry Point process.
Dry point process of a beautiful little hedgehog. And if anyone knows me, well, you've heard me talk before how much I love hedgehogs and my saving of Titch all those years ago with the Shepworth Hedgehog Hospital. So it's absolutely gorgeous. And he's called Millington because you found him on Millington Road.
That's
is that right?
We found a little hedgehog that was very weak and dehydrated and got him back to health.
Yeah,
and he went back up to our allotment, which I hope he's,
he's okay. Having a lovely time in, yeah. Well, and we've also had a whole, this morning on breakfast, they were talking about hedgehogs and getting these new signs up around for people. They need people to identify where hedgehogs are in danger. So it's a very timely present. So
good.
Thank you very much for that.
Good.
So this is one of the processes that you would do on one of your courses?
Yeah, this is Dry Point, and it's where you scratch with a sharp point, the dry point, into a plate, and those plates traditionally were made of copper or zinc, but you can use plastic as well for lower cost. And you scratch a mark, and where you scratch the mark, obviously it makes an indentation into the material, but it also pushes up a burr at the edge of your scratch mark. Then you wipe ink into the plate, and then you wipe most of the ink away. And where you've got your burr and your scratch, it holds that ink.
Right, yeah.
Then you place it through an etching press, which is like a giant mangle with steel rollers. You roll it through at high pressure, and the paper's slightly damp, so it takes on the shape of the plate, and it transfers the ink to the paper.
So is it a little bit like, well, when I was at school many years ago, we did like lino cutting, sort of. So you'd cut out something into your thing, and then you'd print onto it in a very basic way.
It's similar. It's slightly different in that lino is a relief process.
Oh, okay. So you're doing the opposite way.
Where you've made a cut is actually going to be a white mark.
Yes.
And you're inking the surface of your plate. Whereas this is where you make a mark is where your line becomes.
I see. Yeah. So there is. Yeah. There's a definite difference there. So can you tell me a little bit before we go into the actual details of your printmaking course? You've been artist in residence at the veterinary school, which sounds quite unusual for an artist, but can you tell me how you got involved with them and what that was?
I've been very lucky and privileged to work with the University of Cambridge Department of Veterinary Medicine out on Madingley Road, and I was their artist in residence for 2 years.
It's a long residency.
It was quite
a
long residency.
Which is great.
I was mixing up with other projects, of course. But it was about really exploring and celebrating some of the groundbreaking research they're doing in that department. A lot of it was about animals in motion and designing new joints and looking at gait and how to improve that. And a lot of artworks resulted in that, a whole series of work called Animals in Motion. And a number of surgical procedures that I was kind of illustrating and on a series of instruments involved in that process, and that was a nice series of work because it's a whole collection of these very specific instruments to make this the TPLO procedure, which is tibial plateau leveling osteotomy.
It's
a very clever a procedure that changes the position of the knee joint on dogs.
Wow.
And it helps if they have some cartilage problems. It repositions mm-hmm. the way that ball and socket come together. And I just thought the loveliness of this craft of surgery and the craft of the instruments and tools that they're using in order to do this. So it was a celebration of that, and it was all the specific tools for invented for that procedure in separate photogravure prints, and also a series of hands prints that were developed of the surgeons and surgical staff there.
Oh, how interesting. Yeah, so you said you got there's a whole exhibition and a whole kind of gallery's worth of work.
Yeah, we
that.
Ended in a lovely show, and they very kindly let me have a hall at St John's College, and we ended up in a big show there. And now most of the work is going to be on permanent display at the Queen's Veterinary Hospital.
Oh, lovely. Fantastic. And what was I going to say about that? So did you do any sculpture there? Because you said you're doing sculpture. Did you do any sculpture while at the veterinary school, or is that a separate thing?
I did one sculpture there, which was a running greyhound, which showing, you know, the movement of the greyhound. And I think you can see that on the website. And it's a gold leaf sculpture. It's a relief sculpture.
But I've seen you've done some prints of the horses as well.
Yeah,
is
the
that
prints
right?
of the horses have been really successful. And, you know, I was very pleased that St John's chose those prints to reproduce for one of their new innovation centres at Cowley Road. So there's two giant prints of the jump and double horse together.
I imagine around here as well, especially towards Newmarket, they'd be very popular.
Yes, right.
you could do a killing on those, I reckon. Yeah. Yes, so before that though, how you said you've worked in sculpture and you do stuff for commercial. Now before I want to ask you about Thomas the Tank. I've been asked to ask about what's your connection with Thomas the Tank? Okay. We've been speculating.
Well, so part of my background, I worked for a long time in film and television special effects.
Oh yes, you said.
And
yeah.
Thomas the Tank Engine was one of those projects that I worked on for 6 months, and we spent 6 months at Shepland Studios working on I think it was about 23 episodes called The Brand New Adventures of Thomas the Tank Engine.
I'll be looking up
those.
If
people know those, it's with Scar Lewy and Sir Handel and the small Welsh narrative.
So it's the television series.
Not the new
that's probably the one I remember,
computer rendering version.
Yeah,
so it was a delightful series. Mm. And, you know, as I sort of was working there, you begin to realise, gosh, what an iconic thing you were involved in. First of all, it's just like another freelance job, you know, but after a while you suddenly realise what a powerful thing it's been.
Yeah.
And, you know, so many people know that work that I did and know those, you know, Sir Handel and Duncan. And
it's all coming back to me now.
We were the special effects and prop crew, set crew, and we were really making the entire train set, and it was world class. It was the best train set in the world, I think.
You know, that's amazing.
I don't think it's ever going to be beat. Everything was completely scratch built. There were very little things built from any form of kit.
I wonder what's happened to it now.
I think it's all been broken up and
what
thrown
a shame.
Away. Some people have saved a few things. And there's a filmmaker called Thomas Jedski who's now working on a documentary about the making of that.
Oh, how lovely. Oh, look out for that.
So it's brilliant that he's managed to capture that and meet with all the people.
That is something really special to work on. And you said you do lots of commercial projects as well, hotels and things?
Yeah, so a big part of my business is working with interior designers to create artwork for hotels. And I'm lucky enough to have a number of Hilton hotels throughout the country that have got my work in now.
Nice.
So, you know, I work with the interior designer to think about, to, I guess, express the scheme they want in the room, to work with the correct colours and the correct feeling that they want in the artwork.
And so I'm guessing that's the slightly up the top end of things like, you know, the suites and...
Yeah,
Or the lobby areas.
The lobby areas tend to be the more sort of high-priced work.
Yes.
But there are hundreds of volume involved in the room, and suite and bathroom areas.
It's great. Yeah.
And I really like it. And coming from a design background, you know, I love that sort of small production run.
Yes,
and love that sort of manufacturing almost. So it's this sort of combination between craft and design and manufacture, which so interesting.
And business as well.
Business,
it makes good, you know, it's nice to, as an artist, to be able kind of making money. That sounds terrible.
It's great. I like that. You know, it's great having a client. And I guess coming from a design perspective, it's always good to have a client and a brief to work with.
Yeah, otherwise, you can do what you like.
Yeah.
Yeah. So let's go on to your printmaking courses, which anyone can come to. Is that right?
You don't have to be experienced. I run...
Or do you do different ones for different...
Yeah, so I do one weekend or one Saturday a month, printmaking, and you can be, you know, you can have no experience or lots of experience, and I'll kind of tailor what we're doing on that day depending on what the students want to achieve. It's great fun, and I only have about 6 or 8 people.
So would you do, like, if you were coming, like, from me, no experience at all, would you try and pick, say to people, actually you're better to come on this day, or would you just tailor each person at the course would perhaps be working on something different?
Yeah, it's fine just to come, and I can tailor it to the individual. I've done so much teaching over the years.
You were saying you're a visiting lecturer at Loughborough, is that
at Loughborough University, yes. Teach on the MA programmes there.
So it's not hard for me to
do that. And people phone me in advance and say what they might want to do, or if they want a design brief or an art brief, I can provide that before they come. But if you were coming along completely new, what we probably start doing is a bit of monoprinting.
Right.
Just to show you the process, where we're using real objects like a feather, maybe, or a leaf.
Right, yes, I can see there's a beautiful picture on your website of a feather.
Yeah, so some of that, the feather on the website, that's a dry point.
I was about to say,
that
doesn't look like it's been.
But there is a section on the website that shows some of the student work, and if you're thinking of coming on the course, you can have a look at that section. Student gallery from printmaking courses.
Oh, yes, I'm looking at that now.
And you can see the type of work that's produced by the students.
Oh, yes, lovely.
And so this, you know, there are a range of work from, you know, from dry point through to using feathers and grasses to make prints. And using a bit of colour, we can do some multiple colour passes. But I think, you know, most people are really surprised about the results they get on the courses.
And how long are the courses?
They're just 3 hours.
Okay.
Yeah. And
so enough for you to get something nice
just
done.
But it's not, enough time, actually.
Yeah.
But you'll end up making an awful lot of prints.
Mm-hmm.
I've got a very big press, but we work with smaller plates on the printmaking courses, and we print onto very high quality cotton paper, so that it will never fade. It won't go, you know, brown or crumble.
Yes,
like a wood,
yeah.
Like a wood pulp paper would. And it's an intaglio paper. So either Moulin de Guy or we use Somerset.
And I guess if you enjoyed that so much, you could come back, and then obviously your next time you'd be doing something slightly more advanced,
so,
or whatever.
You know, if students are booked to come in again and they want to try a little bit more dry point, I can give them plates and dry point tools to take away and work on, and then bring back to the next course.
And are all of them just one-off individual course? You don't do a runner sort of block of.
No, they're all individual.
But you could, obviously.
I'm going to be doing some more theme courses soon. A lot of people want to do sort of portraits of pets and dogs and cats and horses and things. So the new courses are going to be geared towards that. So if you just, all you need to do is bring some photography of your pet or animal in, and we'll work on ways of translating that photograph into a sort of handmade dry point print or something similar.
Hmm. I think maybe I'd have to start with the feather. I've got 2 beautiful cats, which I'd love to take but I think I'd start so I can have something achievable for a start, but then I'll see how I get on. And if people want to do your courses, how do they get in touch with you? That's my next.
They can book the courses through my website. Or contact me, the contact details on the website.
And what's your website?
It's johndouglaspiper.com.
That's easy.
That's pretty easy. Yeah. And all the my contact details are there. If there aren't dates that work for you that are booked on the website and you want to have, you've got a number of people, say you've got sort of five or six people you want to get together, we can do a custom course.
Oh, yeah, because that could work with a group of friends, couldn't it? Yeah. So I've done that before actually with people.
And lots of people. In fact, I think now the 13th of July is fully booked out, but I've got, I think there's two groups that are all friends coming together over the whole day. So I think I've got about 15 people coming on that. Yeah. It's going to be a busy day. It's going to be fun. Yeah.
Oh, that sounds really lovely. Thank you ever so much for telling us all about that, John. It's really interesting.
Well, it's been my pleasure.
And I look forward to, well, one, I want to thank you very much for my beautiful hedgehog.
That's my
I
pleasure.
Will frame that, and I will I'll put a thing on our social media page about that too. And also thank you for telling us all about it today, and I definitely will be coming one of your courses very soon.
I look forward to seeing you.
Take care.
Thanks.